är det livet som är I samhället.
If there's no life and health in the community.
Och vi ser att det finns liv och hälsa I samhället.
It's because there's no life and health of Jesus in the church.
Så vad är det en grund till att det inte finns liv och hälsa I menigheten?
They always go together.
För de tingen här går hand I hand.
For a community to be blessed.
Och för att ett samhälle ska vara välsignat.
The church has to be in a right relationship with Jesus.
Så må menigheten ha ett rätt förhållande till Jesus.
Because life and every good thing comes from his presence.
För att liv och allt gott kommer ifrån hans närhet.
So all through scripture we see when God's people lived in obedience.
Så vi ser genom hela skriften att när folket levde I lydighet.
They were blessed.
Så var de välsignade.
When they lived in covenant or right relationship with the Lord.
Och när de levde I pakten och I ett rätt förhållande med Gud.
They were protected.
Så var de beskyttade.
And they were blessed.
Och de var välsignade.
And they prospered in every way.
Och så hade de framgång på allt de gjorde.
But when they turned to idolatry or they were disobedient.
Men när de vände sig mot avgudsdyrkelse och var olydiga.
The presence of the Lord withdrew.
Så trakk Guds nærhet seg tilbake.
And it's not just about God judging people, although he does that.
Og det handler ikke om at Gud dømmer mennesker, han gjør det også.
But it's mostly because we come out from underneath his protective covenant and covering.
Men det at vi selv fjerner oss ifra den beskyttelsen som han har.
And then we become exposed to the enemy.
Og så blir vi tilgjengelige for fienden.
When God's presence is no longer a tangible reality in the community.
Og når Guds nærhet ikke en sånn påtagelig kraft I samfunnet.
I'm not talking about the theory about God. I'm not talking about theology.
Jeg snakker ikke om teologi.
But when his actual manifest presence is no longer real in the community.
Men når hans manifesterte nærvær ikke virkelig I samfunnet.
In the church.
Og I menigheten.
Life cannot be sustained.
Så kan ikke livet opprettholdes.
Because he's the source of life.
For han kilden
til livet. So when his presence isn't present in the church.
Så når hans nærhet ikke til stede I menigheten.
There's no hope for a community.
Så det jo ikke håp for samfunnet heller.
It just declines and decays.
Da blir det bare mindre og mindre.
Without God's intervention and grace and power.
Uten Guds nærhet og hans innflytelse og kraft.
Everything runs downward.
Så går alt nedover.
Not upward.
Ikke oppover.
It's just a principle.
Det et prinsipp.
So we need God's intervention.
Så därför så trenger vi Guds närhet och inflytelse.
Revival
och väckelse
is how God intervenes.
Det hvordan Gud bryter inn.
In the decline of humanity.
Och hvordan det mänskliga försvinner.
Revival is an intervention from heaven.
För väckelse det en ingripen ifrån himlen.
So he can bring life and health and healing.
Så att legedom och helbredelse och liv kan komma.
So I want to talk about a little bit today.
Så jag ska snacka lite här idag.
About the because it's Pentecost, right? We're celebrating Pentecost.
Och fordi det pinsehelga vi feirer.
I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit.
Så vill jag tala om den helige ånds rolle.
And restoring the glory of God.
Det att återupprätta Guds härlighet.
Now I don't know that much about the Holy Spirit.
Och jag vet inte så väldigt mycket om den helige ånd.
So this isn't a comprehensive discussion at all.
Så det kan nog sån där voldsomt stort upplägg här.
But hopefully just some things to stir your heart.
Men jag vill att det ska vara något som väcker något I ditt hjärta.
God's presence,
Guds närhet
in the Old Testament.
I det gamla testamentet
was contained in a specific location all the time.
Den var hållt på ett speciellt ställe hela tiden.
Remember, it was the Ark of the Covenant.
Du vet, I arken som paktens ark.
It's kind of a crazy thought, actually.
Och det ganska sprött att tänka på.
That God was willing to be contained in something.
Att Gud var villig till att vara innelockad I något.
And sometimes he was among his people, sometimes he was not.
Någon gånger så var han mitt ibland sitt folk och andra gånger inte.
Inside the Ark of the Covenant.
Och inne I denna paktens ark.
Was the manna?
Var det manna?
Aaron's rod.
Och Arons stav
and the covenant the tablets
och så pakten
but it also contained the glory and presence of God himself
men Guds närhet han själv var till stede där
and you see God being himself wherever the ark went
och du såg hur Gud manifesterade sig själv där var arken kom
that's actually a fun thing to study
och det är artigt att se på det här
I won't go into that but
vi ska inte gå så långt in
but God is God wherever he goes
men Gud han är Gud samma var han kommer.
When his presence was among idolatry,
och när hans närvar var där det var utroskap, avgudstyrkelse.
Like when the Philistines stole the ark.
Då filisterna stjal arken.
They put him in the temple of Dagon.
Så satte de han in I ett avgudstempel.
What happened to that poor idol?
Vad skedde då där?
He just got crushed.
Det bare raste sammen.
Why? Because the holy presence of God was right beside him.
Fordi det hellige nærværet av Gud var ved siden av.
He didn't have a chance.
Han hadde ikke en sjans.
So they sent God away. They didn't want anything to do with him.
Ville ikke ha noe med han å gjøre.
He was dangerous.
Han var farlig.
His presence is dangerous in the midst of idolatry.
Hans nærvær farlig når du kommer nær avgudsdyrkelse.
He destroyed people.
For han ødelegger mennesker.
But when his presence was among a consecrated people,
men når Guds nærvær var med overgitte mennesker,
like at Obed-Edom, remember they brought him and they put him with a consecrated priesthood.
Du vet da, de satte han I samme prestene.
And their God was being God.
Og hvor Gud kunne være Gud.
But the context was consecrated. It was a consecrated context. It was a holy context.
Ja, det var et hellig nærvær.
So when his presence was among a holy people,
så når hans nærvær var ved de hellige,
he was able to bless and heal.
Så kunne han helbrede og velsigne.
And transformation occurred.
Og forandring kom til.
So wherever God went, he was who he was.
Så overalt der hvor Gud kom, der var han seg selv.
In the New Testament,
og I det nye testamentet,
we no longer have God contained in a box,
så har vi ikke Gud lenger I en boks,
because Jesus came to the world.
Fordi Jesus han kom til verden.
God came and was born into the form of a man.
Gud kom og han ble født gjennom et menneske.
So the presence of God took on human form.
Så her kom med Gud I et menneskelig kropp.
The incarnation.
Og ble inkarnert her.
And then Jesus became the sacrifice.
Og så ble Jesus et offer.
So now God was available in a human form walking the earth.
Så nå ble Gud tilgjengelig gjennom det menneskelige.
And because he became the ultimate sacrifice,
og fordi at han ble det endelige offeret,
he tore the wall of separation between us and the Father.
Så rev han bort det skillet som var imellom Gud og mennesket.
He opened the way for us.
Og så åpnet han veien for oss.
But then Jesus,
men så Jesus,
returned to the Father.
Han gikk opp til Faderen.
And something really exciting happened.
Og så skjedde det noe veldig fantastisk.
What happened?
Hva var det?
He sent us the Holy Spirit.
Han sendte oss den hellige ånd.
He said, "I must go away."
Han sa, "Jeg må gå bort."
But I'm going to send you a helper.
Men jeg skal sende dere en hjelper.
So he sent the Holy Spirit to the earth.
Så han sendte den hellige ånd til jorda.
He poured out the Holy Spirit on people.
Og han øste ut den hellige ånd over mennesker.
And then,
og så,
the presence of God,
så kom Guds nærhet,
for the first time,
for første gang,
was never contained in one place.
Den var ikke lenger bare på ett sted.
See, in the ark, he was contained in one place.
I arken så var den bare der.
In the incarnation, the Holy Spirit was contained in the form of Jesus.
Og mens Jesus var her, så var den kun I Jesus.
But when the Holy Spirit was sent,
men når den hellige ånd ble sendt,
now everybody that knows Jesus,
så vil alle som tror på Jesus,
becomes a carrier of the Holy Spirit.
Blir en bærer av den hellige ånd.
The Holy Spirit now becomes mobile.
Den hellige ånd blir mobil.
It has legs.
Han har ben.
It can move.
Og kan gå
he
rundt.
Can move all over the earth.
Kan bevege seg over hele jorda.
So the Holy Spirit was poured out.
Så den hellige ånd ble delt ut.
He's our helper.
Og han vår hjelper.
So we see the New Testament church.
Så vi ser den I den nye testamentlige menigheten.
An amazing picture.
Så det her et fantastisk bilde.
Of families.
På familier.
Friendship.
Og vennskap,
relationship,
og forhold,
people that lived in community,
og folk som har levd I samfunn,
with the presence of the Holy Spirit in their midst,
hvor den hellige ånd har vært sentrum.
They were learning, being taught together.
De har blitt undervist sammen.
They were praying together,
de
eating together,
sammen og spist sammen,
and carrying out the work of the ministry.
Og så har de utført tjenesten sammen.
They were expanding the kingdom by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Og så utvider de Guds rike I den hellige ånds kraft.
And it said that daily people were being added to their numbers.
Og daglig så ble folk lagt til menigheten.
This is the pattern of church.
Det her mønsteret på en menighet.
I believe this is what is in God's heart.
Det det her som I Guds hjerte.
It's a relational family.
En familie som har et godt forhold.
Focus on very specific but very basic foundation.
Som basert på veldig basis kunnskap.
I was speaking yesterday at the conference.
Og jeg talte I går på en annen konferanse.
And I was just sharing about how sophisticated ministry has become.
Och jag snackade om hur liksom sofistikerat någon tjänster har blivit.
How complicated church has become.
Och hur komplicerat menighetslivet har blivit.
And I think it's helpful to read the book of Acts.
Och jag tror det är väldigt hjälpfullt att läsa apostlarnas gärningar.
Life was very simple.
För där var livet väldigt enkelt.
It was full of power.
Men det var fyllt av kraft.
Amen. I think those things are related.
Och jag tror det här hänger ihop.
I think if we become less sophisticated,
jag tror att hvis vi blir lite mindre sofistikerade,
we can return to the things that really matter.
Så kan vi komma tillbaka till det som verkligen teller.
Relationship.
Förhåll.
Eating together.
Det att spisa samman.
praying together,
be sammen,
having all things in common together,
ha alle ting felles,
focusing on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our midst,
ha fokuset på den hellige ånd iblant oss,
and watching God change our community around us,
og se hvordan Gud forandrer samfunnet rundt oss.
But sometimes I think we think it's so simple.
Men noen ganger så tenker vi at det så enkelt.
If it's simple, it can't be exciting.
Og hvis det så enkelt, så kan det liksom ikke være herlig nok.
But that's a wrong conclusion.
Men det feil konklusjon.
It's exciting if the Holy Spirit's in our midst.
For det som herlig, det når den hellige ånd blant oss.
One of the challenges of the Western World Church.
Og en av utfordringene til den vestlige menigheten.
Is we've started thinking about church.
Det at vi har begynt å tenke på menigheten
as a building or a location,
som en bygning eller et sted,
or an organization.
En organisasjon.
We forget that we've all been brought into the kingdom.
Og vi glemmer at vi alle sammen har blitt ført inn I Guds rike.
We're not born into the church, we're born into a kingdom.
Vi ble ikke født inn I en kirke, men I en menighet.
And
ja.
We're trying to find our satisfaction in church or in ministry.
Och så prövar vi att finna vår tillfredsställelse liksom I denna byggningen, I denna menigheten.
But attending church or a ministry will never satisfy the longing of a human heart.
Men det att gå I en menighet och gå liksom in I en byggning vill aldrig tillfredsställa den längselen som på insidan.
So I see such a focus in the Western world on church and ministry.
Så det fokuset som på den västliga världen och menigheter och tjänster.
But if you're in the non-Western world, they don't think so much about church.
Hvis du ikke I den icke västliga världen, så tänker de inte så mycket på kyrkan som en struktur
or organization.
Eller organisation.
They're thinking about the kingdom of God.
De tänker på Guds rike.
And it's interesting because they actually see more of the kingdom of God than we do.
Och det som är intressant är att de ser också mycket mer av Guds rike än det vi gör.
We have relegated.
Vi har liksom ja, lagat oss.
We've identified our Christian experience.
Vi har identifierat den kristna erfarenheten.
By an overconnection with church.
Vi liksom vi gör för mycket ut av det I menigheten.
But church will never satisfy our hearts.
Men en kyrka kan aldrig tillfredsställa hjärtat.
We were created for so much more.
Vi blev skapade så mycket mycket mer.
Than church meetings.
Än kyrkliga möten.
We were created for a kingdom.
Vi blev skapade in I ett rike.
It's not of this world.
Och den inte av denna världen.
Church will never satisfy our eternal longings.
Kyrka vill aldrig tillfredsställa vår andliga tillhörighet.
It's meant to equip us.
Den skal utruste oss
for our kingdom assignment.
Til det oppdraget vi har I Guds rike.
For our eternal destiny.
Til vår evige tilstand eller dit vi skal.
We've become so busy serving the church.
Vi har blitt så travelt opptatt av å tjene kirken og menigheten.
That our own families,
at våre egne familier,
our own neighborhoods,
og våre nabolag,
and community,
og vårt samfunn,
have been spiritually neglected.
De har blitt åndelig neglisjert.
Sorry, but that really is true.
Det virkelig sant.
You go to any city in the Western world. I mean any city in the Western world.
Du kan
every
gå till vilken som helst by I den västliga världen.
The church is very busy.
Så menigheten väldigt travel.
Very self-absorbed and
väldigt
focused.
Väldigt självupptatt.
And the community has been almost totally spiritually neglected.
Och så har du samfundet där ute som helt negligerat.
Has no idea who Jesus is.
De har inte peiling på vem Jesus är.
Well, we're busy having our own party.
Mens vi är väldigt upptagna av att ha vår egen fest och glädje här inne.
Hallelujah, thank you Jesus.
Oh, vi priser Herren.
I mean, you know, there's such a massive disconnect.
Det en stor sån kortslutning.
Between who church is supposed to be.
Hvordan menigheten skulle være.
And our kingdom assignment in God.
Og det oppdraget Gud har gitt oss.
And our city is literally going to hell.
Og så samfunnet vårt på vei til helvete.
So the emphasis on church as an institution.
Så det att ha fokuset på menigheten som en institution
is a wrong interpretation of what church is.
Det en fel översättelse av vad menighet är.
The word church in scripture is ekklesia.
För ordet menighet I Bibeln ekklesia.
Which means a called out people.
Det betyder ett folk som kallt ut.
And really we're called out, Paul says, from one kingdom and we're called into another kingdom.
Och Paulus han säger att vi kallt ut från ett rike och satt in I ett annat rike.
So the word church in scripture never refers to a building or a location.
Så ordet menighet I Bibeln den talar aldrig om en byggning eller ett sted.
Church isn't where you go, it's who you are.
Menighet är inte ett sted du går till, det är något du är.
But we don't act like that.
Men vi handlar inte på den måten.
So we go to church.
Så vi går till menigheten.
But that really doesn't make any sense.
Men det är inte sånt det ska vara.
We're supposed to be the church.
Vi skulle vara menigheten.
If we're waiting for everybody in the city to come to church.
Och visst vi väntar på att alla ute I byn här ska komma till menigheten.
That doesn't even make sense.
Så er det ikke logisk.
What does make sense?
Men det som er logisk.
Is if we understand we are the church.
Det er at hvis vi forstår at vi er menigheten.
Then the church goes to the city.
Så går menigheten ut til byen.
You should be church in your workplaces.
Du skulle være menighet på din arbeidsplass.
In your neighborhoods.
I ditt nabolag.
Your families and your friends.
I din familie og blant dine venner.
So people can go to church.
Så folk kan gå til menigheten.
Where they work, where they live.
Der de jobber og der de bor.
Now why we do kind of understand that.
Og det skjønner vi jo egentlig.
One of the reasons we're not doing that.
Og en grunn til at ikke vi gjør det her.
Is because of the mindset.
Det på grunn av tankesettet vårt.
The church now wants to be entertained.
Fordi at menigheten nå, den vil jo bli underholdt.
By coming to church.
Ved å komme til menigheten.
We want somebody else to teach us.
Vi trenger at noen underviser
oss. We want somebody else to counsel us.
Og vi vil at noen skal rådgi oss.
We want somebody else to train our children.
Vi vil at noen andre skal lære opp barna våre.
We become spiritually lazy. Sorry.
Vi har blitt åndelig late.
Sorry.
Beklager å si det.
We become very spiritually lazy.
Vi har blitt veldig åndelige, late, åndelig sett.
And then we put all the responsibility on our leaders.
Og så legger vi alt ansvar over på lederne våre.
To fix us.
Til å fikse
teach
oss, lære oss,
counsel us,
rådføre oss,
hear from God for us,
og de skal høre fra Gud for
please
oss.
Please do something about our city.
Og vær så snill, pastor, gjør noe for byen vår.
We put all of the burden on our leaders.
Vi legger all byrden ned på lederskapet.
You should be saying amen by now over there.
Du skulle sagt amen nå.
Amen. And then what do we do if it doesn't go well?
Og hva det vi gjør hvis det ikke går bra?
Who do we blame?
Hvem det vi skylder på?
The leaders.
Lederne.
The leaders.
Lederskapet.
Right? Being a leader in the church is really, really hard.
Det å være en leder I en menighet, det veldig hardt.
Because of the warfare.
På grunn av krigføringen.
Because church is so dysfunctional.
Og fordi at menighetene fungerer ikke.
It's a dysfunctional relationship.
Det et forhold som ikke fungerer.
It's not what Jesus had in mind.
Det var ikke det Jesus tenkte på.
Jesus wants us to understand that we are the church.
For Jesus han vill att vi ska förstå att vi är menigheten.
And when we become the church, then he can bring hope to the city.
Och när vi blir menigheten så det hopp för byn.
I'll share a fun story with you.
Jag ska dela en morsom historia med dig.
A friend of mine in Houston, Texas.
En vän av mig I Texas.
Her name is Alyssa.
Hon heter Alyssa.
And she's a single mother.
Och hon en enslig mor.
Just works. She's not in ministry.
Ikke I noe tjeneste.
But we've been doing transformation in her community for a number of years.
Men vi har jobbet med det samfunnet der hun bor og forvandlet det sånn gjennom mange år.
So she understands her identity.
Så hun forstår sin identitet.
And she made her apartment a sanctuary of the presence of the Lord.
Og hun har gjort det sånn at leiligheten hennes et nærvær for Guds.
Ja, der Guds herlighet She understood that she was to be the church in her apartment complex.
Hun forstod at hun måtte være menigheten I sitt leilighetskompleks.
So she started praying for everybody in her apartment complex.
Så hun begynte å be for alle som bodde I nær henne.
And then she started inviting them to her apartment for chips and coffee.
Og så begynte hun å invitere dem hjem til seg på chips og kaffe.
Just loved people.
Og bare elsket menneskene.
Invited them over and made friends. She
og
said,
inviterte dem hjem.
We need to become a family, she
og
said.
Og hun sa vi trenger å bli venner og være familie her.
She didn't preach messages.
Hun talte ingen budskap.
She didn't drag them to church.
Hun dro dem ikke med på møter.
She just loved them.
Hun bare elsket dem.
In 1 year.
Og ett år.
She led 130 people to Jesus.
Ja, på ett år så ledde 130 mennesker til Jesus.
Yeah. Just by being who she was, but understanding what was in her.
Och förstå det hon hade på insidan.
She understood that the Holy Spirit lived inside of her.
Hon förstod att den helige ande bodde på insidan av henne.
Which now made him available to everybody in the apartment complex.
Och då var han tillgänglig för alla som bodde I det lägenhetskomplexet.
I met another lady in Houston.
Och jag mötte en annan kvinna I Houston.
It was so funny.
Och det var så morsamt.
She came to me and she was telling me her story.
Och hon kom till mig och fortalte sin historia.
And she was so apologetic.
Och hon var bara liksom om ursäktning.
Because she was just a working mom.
För hon var bara en arbetande mamma.
That started loving her neighborhood.
Som älskade nabolaget sitt.
And so many drug addicts started getting saved.
Och det var många narkomaner som började bli frälst.
She planted a church in the center of the apartment complex.
Så hon plantade en menighet I det här nabolaget leiligheten där hon bodde.
A little club room, you know, where you can have meetings and stuff.
Det var ett litet sånt klubbrum I den blocket.
So she started renting that every Sunday to have
church. Så hon leide det lokalet varje söndag och hade möten.
She said, "I didn't mean to start a church. I honestly didn't mean to start a church."
Och hon sa, "Jag menade inte att starta någon menighet."
She said, "I'm not a pastor. I don't know what I'm doing."
Jag är inte pastor, så jag kan ju inte det här.
She just loved people.
Men hon älskade bara människorna.
But she started being church.
Så hon började att vara med menighet.
All the people in her neighborhood started knowing Jesus.
Och alla i det nabolaget började känna Jesus.
God wants to manifest his glory and his spirit through you.
Gud önskar att manifestera sin kraft och härlighet genom dig.
We need to become the church.
Vi trenger att vara menighet.
Let's talk about God's glory for a moment.
Vi ska snacka om Guds härlighet lite.
God's glory is described in the Bible.
Guds härlighet är beskrivet i Bibeln.
It manifests in three primary ways.
Och den blir manifesterar sig på tre områden.
First in creation.
Det första är genom skapelsen.
We see, you know, Psalm 19.
Vi ser i Psalmen 19.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
Att Guds härlighet blir manifesterat.
So God manifests his glory in creation.
Så Gud har manifesterat sin härlighet genom skapelsen.
Secondly, God manifests his glory in Jesus Christ.
Och för på det andra punkten var att han manifesterade sig genom Jesus Kristus.
To a degree in his incarnation when he came to the earth the first time.
Och det var då han kom till jorden på första gång.
But that was a veiled glory. We didn't see the fullness of God's glory in.
Men det var en härlighet som var skjult. Vi såg den inte där.
When he returns to the earth, we will see the open, visible glory of God.
När han kommer tillbaka till jorden igen så vill vi se hans härlighet uppenbart.
But the third way the Bible talks about his glory being manifest.
Men den tredje punkten som Gud snackar om sin härlighet manifesterat.
Is through his church.
Det är genom hans menighet.
Through his people.
Genom hans folk.
We're actually supposed to be carriers of his glory.
Vi skulle egentligen vara bärare av hans härlighet.
Isn't that amazing?
Är inte det härligt?
The glory of Jesus dwells. If you know Jesus, his glory already is present on the inside of you.
Hvis du känner Jesus så är hans härlighet allerede i dig.
That means everywhere you go.
Det betyder att där du går.
His glory can go.
Där går också hans
härlighet. His healing can go.
Och hans helbredelse kan gå.
His mercy can go.
Hans nåde kan gå.
It's mobile.
Det är mobilt.
See, the idea that we have to bring people into a church setting.
Den idén vi har med att vi måste ta med folk till menigheten.
So they can experience God. Just
isn't true. Så att de kan få uppleva Gud, det är inte riktigt.
It's helpful. It is true to a degree.
Det kan ju hjälpa och det är ju grejt på en måte.
But it's also true that his glory is inside you.
Men det är också sant att hans härlighet är i dig.
Paul says that we're the aroma of Christ to those who are perishing and those who are being saved.
One more time.
The aroma of Christ. Paul says we're the aroma, the fragrance of
Jesus.
Ja, den
duften som är av Gud, ja, den är med oss där vi är.
Some who are perishing and some who are being saved.
Någon går till grunde och någon blir frälst.
And the difference of whether they're perishing or being saved is whether you're fragrant or not.
Ja, skillnaden på om dem du möter blir frälst eller inte, det är på den duften som du ger dem.
The Lord asked me a question once.
Gud han bara ställde mig ett spörsmål en gång.
He said, "How fragrant are you?"
Hur välduftande är du?
When you come home at night.
När du kommer hem om kvällen.
Does everybody in your neighborhood know that you're there?
Vet alla i nabolaget att du är där då?
Can they smell you when you come home?
Känner de dig när du kommer hem?
What do they smell on you when you're out in the city?
Vad luktar de av dig när du är ute i byn?
How fragrant are we?
Hur välduftande är vi?
God's glory is seen primarily in his people in two different ways.
Och Gud han syns genom sitt folk på två huvudmål.
So he glorifies himself through believers in two ways.
Han härliggör sig själv genom de troende på två måter.
Through the transformation and sanctification of believers.
Genom den förändringen som sker när vi blir troende.
In other words, the gold that's refined by fire.
Det guldet som har blivit rensat i
eld. Becomes shiny and beautiful.
Det blir blankt och äkta.
So he's glorified when we become like him.
Så han blir härliggjort när vi blir som han.
As we become like him, we reveal his glory.
Och när vi blir som han så visar vi hans härlighet.
Secondly,
och för det andra,
his glory is seen in the church through the manifestations of his power.
Så blir han härliggjort genom att hans kraft blir manifesterad i menigheten.
So not just through us.
Inte bara genom oss.
The Holy Spirit can reveal himself all by himself.
Men den helige ande kan också manifestera sig helt av sig själv.
And that typically happens in seasons of revival.
Och det sker sån typiskt på väckelsetider.
That's really fun.
Och då är det verkligen moro.
It's amazing when the Lord comes and does ministry all by himself.
Och det är härligt när Gud kommer och gör ting helt av sig själv.
I love it when we get anointed.
Och jag älskar det när vi blir salva och vi betjänar.
That's fun. That's exciting.
Och det är också härligt.
But it's really fun.
Men det är verkligen moro.
And more exciting.
Och ända mer härligt.
When we're doing nothing.
När vi inte gör någonting. Bara sitter ner,
waiting,
och väntar,
worshiping,
tillber,
and his presence comes.
Och hans härlighet
and
kommer.
He does what nobody can do.
Och så bara gör han det som
he
ingen
moves
andre
in ways
kan.
That we could never imagine.
Och han beveger sig på en måte vi ikke kunne forestille oss.
And then everybody's in awe of the Lord.
Och alla blir bara i ärefrykt för Herren.
Jesus is lifted up.
Jesus blir lyft upp.
So he wants to be glorified through the church, through believers.
Så han ønsker å bli herliggjort gjennom menigheten, gjennom de troende.
In every revival,
og I enhver vekkelse,
the first thing God does is draw us back to our first love devotion.
Så det første Gud gjør å få oss tilbake til den første kjærligheten.
It's a rediscovery of the beauty of God.
Det å gjenoppleve den Guds godhet.
It's a returning to intimacy with our first love.
Det det å komme tilbake I den der intime kjærligheten.
So the primary focus of revival.
Så det første punktet I vekkelse.
Is when the compromised church.
Det når den kompromisserende menigheten.
And all her busyness, all her sin and compromise.
Som har hatt det så travelt og som har drevet med mye synd og mye greier.
Becomes radiant.
Virkelig blir det
restored.
Ja, blir fornyet og gjenopprettet.
Filled with love and devotion to Jesus.
Og fylt med kjærlighet og hengivenhet til Jesus.
That's revival.
Det vekkelse.
And then that revived church.
Og denne fornyet menigheten.
Reflects it to the community.
Blir reflektert ut til samfunnet
der ute. And
that's
how the lost come to Jesus.
Og så kommer de fortapte til Jesus.
God's purpose.
Guds hensikt.
Is that we would be transformed.
Det at vi skal bli forandret.
From our earthly nature,
fra vår verdslige natur,
our self-focus,
og vårt selvfokus,
our insecurities,
og usikkerhet,
into a devoted, pure bride,
inn til en hengiven, overgitt brud.
God takes weak, sinful human beings,
og Gud tar svake mennesker,
and exchange,
syndfulle mennesker.
We offer him our ashes, he gives us his beauty.
Vi gir han vår aske og han gir oss sin skjønnhet.
We give him sin, he gives us holiness.
Vi gir han synd, han gir oss hellighet.
Right, it's a mystery.
Det et mysterium.
How and why the Lord would give glory to weak, sinful human beings.
Hvorfor og hvordan Gud vil gi all den her herligheten til syndfulle, svake mennesker.
It's grace.
Det kalt nåde.
And my concern is a lot of the church today talks about Jesus.
Og jeg veldig opptatt av at menigheten I dag snakker mye om Jesus.
Teaching about Jesus.
De underviser om Jesus.
But it's like attending a funeral.
Men det som å være I en begravelse.
It's past tense.
Det liksom you noe know, som har vært.
It's truth about him.
Vi snakker om det som har vært om
han.
But
we're not being transformed into his likeness.
Og vi sier jo sant om det som har vært han, men vi har ikke blitt forandret til å være I det her selv.
We're learning about him.
Vi lærer om han.
We can tell people about him.
Og vi kan fortelle om Jesus.
But there's no aroma.
Men det ingen aroma.
Because there's no revelation of his beauty and his glory.
For det ikke noen åpenbaring om hans herlighet I oss.
We have been created.
Vi har blitt skapt
to discern the beauty of God.
Til å få ut og vise Guds skjønnhet.
And to delight in it.
Og glede oss I det.
The beauty of God is what draws us to him.
Og Guds skjønnhet det som drar oss til ham.
Right, it's his splendor, it's his glory, it's his
kindness. Det hans herlighet, hans godhet, hans nydelige atmosfære.
It's what draws us to the Lord.
Det det som drar oss til Herren.
But it's that same beauty revealed in you that's going to draw the lost to him.
Og den samme skjønnheten I deg som vil dra de fortapte til han.
You weren't drawn to the Lord because of a religious idea.
Ble du dratt til Herren på grunn av en religiøs idé?
Nobody's attracted to Jesus because of a religious concept.
Ingen blir jo tiltrukket av Jesus utifra noe religiøst konsept.
I fell in love with Jesus because of his beauty.
Jeg ble forelsket av Jesus på grunn av hans skjønnhet.
So then why are we offering the world a religious idea about Jesus?
Så hvorfor gir vi da verden våre religiøse ideer om Jesus?
See, he wants us to become his beauty.
Han vil at vi skal bli hans skjønnhet.
So that we become the fragrance.
Sånn at vi en velduft.
So the people around us can see him.
Og at mennesker rundt oss kan se han.
There's an amazing verse in 2 Corinthians.
Og det et flott vers I 2 Korinterne.
Verse 19.
I vers, what chapter?
Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3.
2 Korinterne 3.
Verse 18.
18.
It says, but we all...
Men alle vi,
with unveiled faces,
som utildekket ansikt,
beholding as in a mirror,
ser som I et speil,
the glory of the Lord,
Herrens herlighet,
are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory,
og vi blir forvandlet til det samme bildet fra herlighet til herlighet,
by the Spirit of God,
som av Herrens ånd.
This is amazing.
Det fantastisk.
This is the personal transformation process.
Det den personlige forandringsprosessen.
We come to the Lord.
Vi kommer til Herren.
With unveiled faces.
Med utildekket ansikt.
That means vulnerability.
Det betyr med vår sårbarhet.
if you're going to look at somebody face to face,
hvis du ser på noen ansikt til ansikt,
in intimacy,
så det intimt.
You can't have anything between your faces.
Du kan ikke ha noe som dekker liksom ansiktet.
So let's say we were good friends.
Hvis vi var gode venner,
we're trying to have an intimate conversation.
Prøver å ha en liksom intim samtale her.
I can't see your eyes.
Jeg kan ikke se øya dine.
I can hear her.
Jeg hører.
But there's no intimacy.
Men det ikke noe intimt forhold. Jeg kan ikke lese ansiktsuttrykk.
She could be making very bad faces at me. I would never know.
Jeg kan lage rare ansikter. Jeg kan ikke se dem.
If there's things covering our faces,
hvis noe dekker ansiktet vårt,
it's going to obscure the face of the Lord.
Så vil det også dekke, eller vi vil ikke se Guds ansikt.
The Lord wants us to behold His face in intimacy.
Men Gud han vil at vi skal se hans ansikt intimt.
And then the promise is we become like Him.
Og da blir vi som han.
He transforms us into His very same image, not a little bit.
Da forandrer han oss, seg til sitt eget bilde.
It's hard to understand. We don't get just a little bit.
Ikke bare bitte litt.
We become like Him in the same way.
Vi blir som han på samme måte.
From glory to glory.
Fra herlighet til herlighet.
How much glory does Jesus have?
Hvor mye herlighet har Jesus?
How much glory will He give us?
Hvor mye herlighet vil han gi oss?
I don't know.
Jeg vet ikke.
But I think it's a lot more than we currently have.
Men jeg tror det mye mer enn det vi nå har.
And it's interesting. It says that the Spirit by the Spirit of the Lord.
Og det står at det ved Herrens ånd.
So the Holy Spirit is the one that makes that possible.
Så det den hellige ånd som gjør det her mulig.
As a result of our beholding His face.
Og som et resultat av det her å se hans ansikt.
We're changed.
Så blir vi forandret.
We see His glory.
Vi ser hans herlighet.
And His glory becomes our glory.
Og hans herlighet blir vår herlighet.
That's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Det den hellige ånds arbeid.
Scripture says that the bride will make herself ready.
Og Bibelen sier at bruden gjør seg selv klar.
So we have a responsibility.
Så vi har et ansvar.
To make ourselves ready.
Og gjøre oss selv rede.
The primary way we do that is by beholding Jesus.
Og det første vi gjør da, det å holde fast på Jesus.
It doesn't say to read and learn and study a lot.
Det står ikke at vi skal lese og studere og liksom virkelig gjøre mye.
I mean, it's good to
mye.
It's good to do that.
Det bra å gjøre det.
But it won't produce glory in your heart.
Men det vil ikke produsere herlighet i livet ditt.
We have to become like Him in a process of intimacy with God.
Vi må bli lik ham ved å ha et intimt forhold med han.
It means our image from the fall is completely lost and redeemed.
Det betyr at det vi hadde i fallet, det blitt borte i det vi ble frelst.
We become like Him.
Vi har blitt som han.
When the church of a city,
og når en by i en menighet,
starts seeking the face of Jesus,
begynner å søke Guds ansikt,
worshiping together,
ved å tilbe sammen,
praying together,
be sammen,
humbling themselves together,
være ydmyke sammen,
consecrating themselves together,
og hengi seg sammen,
repenting together,
og omvende seg sammen,
that's a transformational process.
Så det en omgjøringsprosess.
The church becomes more and more filled with the glory of Jesus.
Så blir menigheten fylt mer og mer av Guds herlighet.
Habakkuk 2:14 has an amazing promise.
Og tilbake i 2014 så hadde jeg en herlig opplevelse.
Says that the knowledge of the glory of God.
Det handler om Guds herlighet.
It's going to cover the earth.
Den skal dekke hele jorden.
As the waters cover the sea.
Sånn som vannet dekker jorden.
It's an amazing thing.
Det helt forunderlig.
The knowledge of His glory.
Guds herlighet.
Is going to spread all over the world.
Skal spres ut over hele verden.
Even as the water covers the sea.
Sånn som vannet dekker havet.
How is the glory of God?
Hvordan Guds herlighet?
Going to cover the earth.
Hvordan skal den dekke hele jorden?
I used to wonder about that.
Jeg pleide å lure på det.
And I used to think the answer was revival.
Og jeg tenkte at svaret var vekkelse.
That the Lord would just break in and somehow spread His glory.
At Gud skal bare bryte inn og så skal herligheten spres ut.
I didn't connect it to the church.
Jeg forbandt det ikke med menigheten.
It was something apart from people.
Det var liksom noe som hadde det var liksom på siden av folket.
It was ministry. It was ministry focused.
Det var en tjenestefokusert ting.
But now I understand that's not true at all.
Men nå har jeg forstått at det ikke sånn det
If the glory of God is going to spread across the earth.
Hvis Guds herlighet skal spres over hele jorden.
It's going to spread because it's going to be revealed in people.
Så vil den spres fordi den vil bli åpenbart i mennesker.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Og det det som skjer.
Transforming revival is happening all over the earth.
En forvandlende vekkelse skjer over hele verden.
And it's not a strategy.
Og det handler ikke om strategi.
It's not a ministry.
Det ikke en tjeneste.
It's not an event.
Det ikke en hendelse.
It's just people.
Det är bara människor.
Returning to covenant relationship with the Lord.
Som vänder tillbaka till det här nära fällskapet med Gud.
Returning to simplicity and devotion.
Som kommer in I det enkla övergivna livet.
They're becoming like Jesus.
Som blir som Jesus.
And the community around them is seeing Jesus.
Och så ser samfundet runt dem Jesus.
And they're getting saved.
Och så blir de frälst.
And then the kingdom is coming to the earth in real ways.
Så kommer Guds rike ner på jorda och dväler här.
When the church becomes radiant with the beauty of God.
Och när Guds menighet blir överfylld av Guds härlighet.
She will bring an answer to the pain and devastation of our community.
Så ger han också svar till det som är lidelserna I samhället.
The church then becomes victorious.
Då blir menigheten segrande.
Filled with power.
Fylld av kraft.
Has influence.
Har influens.
Then the world will start seeking her counsel.
Och så vill världen komma för att få rådgivning.
Jesus becomes Lord.
Så blir Gud herre.
Until Jesus is Lord of the church, he will never be Lord of the city.
Och för Jesus är herre I menigheten så vill han inte bli herre ute I samhället.
We want Jesus to be Lord of the city.
Vi vill att Jesus ska vara herre I byn här.
But first we have to make sure he's Lord of his own church.
Men först så måste han vara herre I sin egen menighet.
That means we have to behold him. We have to become like him.
Därför tränger vi och håller vara när han.
So one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close with
some thoughts. Så en av rollerna till den helige ande.
One of the roles or activities of the Holy Spirit.
En aktiviteten till den helige ande.
Is to reveal Jesus.
Det är att uppenbara Jesus.
But to help us be transformed into that image.
Och hjälpa oss till att bli förändra in I hans bilde.
In other words, the role of the Holy Spirit is to prepare the bride.
Det är med andra ord rollen till den helige är att förbereda bruden.
He's our counselor.
Han är vår rådgivare.
He's our helper.
Han är vår hjälpare.
He helps transform our nature.
Han hjälper oss att förändra naturen vår.
He sets us free.
Han sätter oss fri.
He gives us beauty for ashes.
Han ger oss skönhet istället för aska.
He heals our brokenness.
Han helbreder vår brutt.
Jesus says very clearly in John.
Och Jesus sa väldigt tydligt I Johannes.
That the Holy Spirit
att den helige ande
takes from what is in Jesus.
Tar det som är I Jesus.
And makes it ours.
Och ger det och låter det bli vårt.
I love that.
Jag älskar det.
That's a promise.
Det är ett löfte.
Everything that's in Jesus.
Allt det som var I Jesus.
The Holy Spirit.
Den helige ande.
Because he's it's like he's in between us all the time.
Det är som han är I oss och ibland oss hela tiden.
He's taking what Jesus has.
Han tar det som Jesus har och ger det till oss.
If I need wisdom.
Han tränger visdom.
He helps me get it from Jesus.
Ja, hvis jeg trenger visdom så får jeg det ifra
Jesus. If I need direction.
Trenger jeg rettledning.
The Holy Spirit will order my steps.
Så vil den helige ande lede mine skritt.
If I need comfort.
Om jeg trenger trøst.
You see, the Holy Spirit is the He's intervening all of the time and helping us.
Den helige ande går I forbund for oss hele tiden. Han hjelper oss.
He wants to take everything Jesus has and give it to us.
Och han vill ta allt det som Jesus har och ge det till oss.
He brings conviction.
Han ger övergivelse.
He helps us love.
Han hjälper oss att älska.
And he's gentle.
Och han är
He needs to become our best friend.
Han är vänlig, han vill vara vår vän.
The one we talk to.
Och en vi snackar till.
I've been reminded recently again about his role.
Och jag har blivit påminna nå om hans roll.
Just to be aware of his role and to invite him to specifically include him and invite him.
Och bara det att regna med han och invitera han med.
He's also the spirit of truth.
Han är också sannhetens ande.
I've been thinking about Norway and we have this of course the United States as well.
Och jag har tänkt på Norge och det här är självklart också I USA.
But just the incredible influence of humanism and the spirit of the age.
Men bara den här enorma fokuset som är på humanismen nu I den tiden vi lever I.
You know, just all the error, all the things that are not true, all the deception that's out in the
alla
world.
Alla lögner och alla liksom ting som är ute för att lura oss.
And I think there's something more powerful than trying to confront all the deception.
Och jag tror det är nog mycket mer kraft som ska ut för att få bort all den här vrangläran.
Because yeah, for a lot of reasons.
På grund ja.
I think there's something more powerful and more effective.
Jag tror det är nog som är mycket mer kraftfullt.
It's to make sure that the church is full of the spirit of truth.
Därför är det viktigt att menigheten är fylld med hans sannhet.
Because the spirit of truth
for sannhetens ande
will reveal the deception.
Vill uppenbara det som är falskt.
If the Holy Spirit's in our midst.
Hvis den helige ande är ibland oss.
One of the other things the Holy Spirit's doing.
En annan ting som den helige ande gör.
He's connecting his family.
Han kopplar samman familjen.
He's like a party planner, like a hostess.
Han som en sån festplanlägger.
And I one of the primary things he's doing in Norway right now is that.
En av de viktigaste ting han gör I Norge nå det är akkurat det.
The Holy Spirit is just connecting relationships all over the nation.
Den helige ande kopplar samman folk over hele nasjonen.
He's helping the family find each other.
Han hjelper familier til å finne hverandre.
He's connecting everybody relationally.
Han kobler de sammen forhold.
He's preparing his bride.
Han forbereder sin brud.
He's getting us ready for what Jesus wants to do.
Han gjør oss klar til det som Jesus vil gjøre.
He also brings power.
Og så kommer han med kraft.
Being in unity is not the answer.
Og det å være being in unity, ja, bare det å være enige er ikke nok.
Unity by itself has no power.
Enighet har ikke kraft i seg.
Unity in the spirit has power.
Men enhet i ånden, det har kraft.
We don't want unity of the flesh.
Vi vil ikke ha en enhet i kjøttet.
We have a lot of that.
Det finnes mye av det.
All kinds of organized things we do
masse
together.
Masse organiserte ting vi gjør sammen.
And people think if we're in unity, that's just the most amazing thing.
Og folk tenker at bare vi enige, så jo det fantastisk.
But unity of the flesh produces no fruit.
Men enighet i kjøttet, den gir ikke noe frukt.
The Tower of Babel was a effort of unity in the flesh,
du vet,
right?
Babels tårn, det var jo en frukt av det.
But unity of the spirit is very, very different.
Men enighet i ånden, det noe helt annet.
We need to be in agreement with His Holy Spirit.
Og vi må være i enighet med den hellige ånd.
And if we are, there will be fruit.
Og hvis vi det, så kommer det frukt.
Peace, joy.
Glede, fred.
Love.
Kjærlighet.
Long suffering.
Utholdenhet.
Humility.
Ydmykhet.
Gentleness.
Vennlighet.
Self-control.
Og selvkontroll.
What if the church looked like that?
Tenk deg en menighet som ser sånn ut.
What if the church was manifesting the fruit of the Spirit?
Tenk hvis menigheten ga ut åndens frukter.
Do you think it would impact the community around you?
Ville det få influens på dem ute da?
What if we understood that we were carriers of the Holy Spirit?
Tenk om vi forstod at vi var bærere av den hellige ånds kraft.
And we had the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Og vi hadde åndens frukt.
And we understood that church wasn't a place we go, but who we are.
Og vi forstod at ikke menigheten var noe vi gikk til, men det noe vi
We could be just bringing fruit everywhere we go.
Så kunne vi bært frukt hvor enn vi kom.
Revealing His fragrance and His glory everywhere we go.
Og vi kunne gi ut hans velduft overalt der vi var.
I believe the Lord wants to decentralize the church.
Vill förändra menigheten.
I believe He wants to deconstruct our programs
och han vill programmera oss.
And He wants us to return to the community.
Och så vill han få oss ut i samhället.
And be the church.
Och vara menigheten.
Out where we live.
Där hvor vi lever.
Where we work.
Där hvor vi arbeider.
In our homes or families.
Hjemme och i familjerna.
Because they're suffering the spiritual loss.
För de lider en andlig fattighet.
Church is to be a place of equipping.
Och menigheten skulle vara ett utrustningssted.
It's not a club.
Ikke en klubb.
It's not a place of being entertained.
Ikke et sted hvor man blir underholdt.
It's where you come to be equipped to be part of the army of God.
Men et sted hvor du kommer for å bli utrustet til å være i Guds armé.
It's funny when churches get on the they engage in a process of transformation.
Och när en menighet är i en sån förändringsprocess.
It's kind of shocking for the people.
Så det blir det chock för folk.
Because the people weren't there to be part of the army of God.
För att folk var inte med i denna Guds armé.
They were coming for the good programs
or
the good worship
or liksom,
the children's programs, you know.
Ha det ordentligt i det programmet som
And then all of a sudden the pastor says.
Och plötsligt så säger pastorn.
We're going to change everything.
Vi ska förändra på allt nu.
We're going to start seeking the presence of Jesus.
Vi ska börja söka Jesu närhet.
And we're going to go out into our community.
Och nu ska vi ut i samhället ute.
And carry His glory.
Och bära hans härlighet med oss.
And people say, "What?"
Och så säger folk, "Wow."
That's not what I signed up for.
Det där var inte jag helt med på.
So what happens is we see a real decline in the church.
Så ser vi hur liksom folk kanske blir lite borta.
But that's really normal.
Men det är helt normalt.
It's actually part of the process.
Och det är en del av processen.
And it actually I'm just not going to say that. Never mind. I'm going to be nice.
Så kan se allt här nu.
Just don't fear loss.
Men inte var rädd för om någon blir borta.
A lot of times in church we think success is measured by numbers.
För någon gånger så tänker vi att success i menigheten det är liksom utifrån hur många vi är.
So when the numbers decline.
Så när liksom antalet går ned.
Leaders panic.
Så får ledarskapet panik.
And we go back to all of our programs to make people
come
so we feel successful. Och så
börjar vi med massor av program för att få folk att komma igen.
So if we don't fear loss,
hvis vi ikke frykter tap,
we trust Jesus.
Men stoler på Jesus.
Having Jesus in the church is better than having people anyway.
For det bedre å ha Jesus i menigheten enn med masse folk.
And once Jesus is restored to the church,
og når Jesus har fått blitt bekreftet i menigheten,
people will start coming back to the church.
Så begynner folk å komme tilbake igjen.
But there'll probably be lost people finding Jesus.
Og kanskje det da blir
lost.
Ja, det blir fortapte mennesker som kommer og møter Jesus.
So don't be afraid of making room for the lost.
Så ikke bry deg om at det blir plass til dem fortapte for å komme.
If people don't want to meet Jesus in church, they can go someplace else.
Hvis ikke folk vil møte Jesus I menigheten, så kan de jo gå et annet sted.
There's plenty of churches in every city.
Det finns masse menigheter over hele.
That are not pursuing the presence of Jesus. That's the truth.
Som ikke opptatt av Jesu herlighet.
And if they want to just go to church on Sunday, let them go there.
Så hvis de bare vil gå på et møte på en søndag, så kan de jo gå der.
But let's pursue the Lord.
Men la oss søke Herren.
Let's pursue His presence.
La oss søke hans nærhet.
Until our communities are transformed.
Sånn at samfunnet rundt oss blir forandret.
So how do we increase the activity of the Holy Spirit in our midst?
Så hvordan øker vi den hellige ånds nærvær I blant oss?
I actually asked Tommy this the other day. We were talking about it.
Og vi snakket om det her om dagen.
How do you increase? How do you become more aware of His whole of the Holy
Spirit? Hvordan blir du mer opptatt av den hellige ånd?
Just a couple of things.
Bare noen få ting.
We need to worship.
Vi trenger tilbedelse.
Worship isn't the warm up on Sundays.
Tilbedelse ikke oppvarming på et søndagsmøte.
You know what I mean by that?
Skjønner du hva jeg mener?
It's not the warm up.
Det ikke oppvarming.
It's the source of our existence.
Det selve kilden til vår eksistens.
Worship is something we should be doing all day long.
Tilbedelse noe vi skulle gjøre hele tiden, hver dag, hele tiden.
If you're happy, you should be worshiping.
Hvis du glad, så skulle du tilbe.
If you're sad, you should be worshiping.
Hvis du trist, så skulle du tilbe.
If the enemy is attacking you, you should for sure be worshiping.
Hvis fienden kjemper imot deg, så virkelig tilbe Gud.
So worship has become part of our daily life.
Tilbedelse skulle være en del av vårt daglige liv.
Of course, we need to pray.
Og selvfølgelig trenger vi å be og søke Herren.
We need to lift up Jesus.
Vi trenger å løfte Jesus opp.
I know we mean that in our hearts. We want to be doing that.
Og jeg vet at vi ønsker det virkelig I vårt hjerte å gjøre det.
But to even say it out loud, to be just conscious,
og være bevisste på det.
Just to say it is honoring of Him.
Det å ære Han.
We need to live consecrated lives.
Og vi trenger å leve bevisste liv.
So we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Vi vil ikke gi den hellige ånds sorg.
We want to walk in humility.
Vi vil vandre I ydmykhet.
Unity and fruit of the Spirit.
Og I enhet og I den sannheten I den hellige ånd.
And corporately we need to function like the early church that I mentioned.
Og så trenger vi å samarbeide og vandre og leve sammen sånn som den første menigheten gjorde.
So that He is moving in our midst.
Sånn at han kan bevege seg iblant oss.
I think when the Holy Spirit's moving in our midst.
Og jeg tror at når den hellige ånd iblant oss.
Life is going to be exciting.
Så blir livet spennende.
It's going to be fruitful.
Og det blir fruktfullt.
It's going to be meaningful.
Og det kommer til å være meningsfylt.
And we're going to see the desire of the dream of Jesus.
Og vi kommer til å se oppfyllelsen av Jesu drøm.
So here's what I sensed for this.
Så det det jeg har kjent I dag.
I feel like the Lord is asking us to surrender again to the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Jeg ser at Gud han ønsker at vi skal gi oss på nytt inn til den hellige ånds kraft.
And I don't mean that just in our heart, and if you can come and play.
Og jeg mener ikke bare I hjertet.
It's not just an intellectual or a mental thing
ikke bare that we do. Sånn mentalt liksom I tankelivet.
You know, Lord, I submit to you, I surrender
Herre,
to you.
You know, we can say that. Det ikke det jeg mener.
But I mean surrendering our lives.
Jeg mener å overgi våre liv.
Why can't you plant a church in your neighborhood?
Hvorfor kan ikke du plante en menighet I ditt nabolag?
You know, to surrender to the Holy Spirit is not just intellectual.
Og det å overgi seg til den hellige ånd, det ikke bare noe men intellektuelt.
It's just not something you do in your heart, it's something you do with your life.
Det ikke noe du bare gjør I ditt hjerte, det noe du gjør I ditt liv.
Why can't you be a carrier of the Holy Spirit in your neighborhood?
Hvorfor kan ikke du være en bærer av den hellige ånd I ditt nabolag?
As the process of transformation continues in Fredrikstad,
og ettersom den her forvandlingsprosessen foregår I Fredrikstad,
those are the things we're going to be talking about.
Så det disse tingene her vi skal snakke om.
Taking the church,
og ta menigheten,
tipping it upside down,
snu den opp ned,
and shaking it really hard till all the Christians come out.
Og riste den skikkelig sånn at alle kristne ramler ut.
We're going to encourage you to get so filled with Jesus.
Och jag vill uppfordra dig så väldigt att bli så fylld av Jesus.
That we can start worshiping in the neighborhoods.
Att vi kan börja tillbe ute I nabolagen.
Until the kingdom of God starts manifesting out in the community.
Så att Guds rike börjar bli manifesterat där ute.
So when we surrender to the Holy Spirit,
så när vi överger oss till den helige ande,
it's not just something you do in your heart. I want you to surrender your life.
Så inte bara är det något du gör I ditt hjärta, men det något du gör med ditt liv.
And yes, I know that's scary.
Och jag vet det hörs skrämmande ut.
It is scary.
Det lite skrämmande.
Because he's unpredictable.
För det något vi inte kan se helt hur det blir.
And humans like predictability.
Och vi liker liksom att ha kontroll och veta hur det är.
We want to know if I surrender.
Vi vill liksom veta att hvis jag överger mig.
What are you going to do with me?
Vad kommer du att göra med mig då?
What are you going to do?
Vad kommer du att ske?
Have you ever been, you know, had to do that?
Er det ikke sånn?
So, but here's the alternative.
Men her alternativet.
To stay where you are.
Å bli der du
You have a choice.
Du har et valg.
Now, you might have a very exciting life right now in God.
Du kan ha et veldig bra liv, herlig liv.
But don't ever choose the status quo.
Men ikke liksom bestem deg for at det bare skal være der det
I think life with Jesus,
livet med Jesus
is to be a continual surrendering.
Det å hele tiden leve I overgivelse.
So there can be a continual outpouring.
Så sånn at det hele tiden kan være frisk utgytelse.
And honestly, anything less than that,
alt utenom det,
we get bored.
Da blir det kjedelig.
We return to the ways of the world.
Da blir vi liksom til denne verdens
veier. And then we actually lose our connection with God.
Og så mister vi den herre kontakten med
Gud. Then we get offended.
Og så blir vi fornærmet.
Then we get mad at God.
Så blir vi sinnet på Gud.
It's a horrible cycle.
Det en forferdelig sirkel.
We have to stay alert.
Vi må være våkne.
And connected.
Og koblet på.
So let's surrender to the Holy Spirit.
Så la oss overgi oss til den hellige ånd.
Maybe in a way you haven't done before.
Og kanskje på en måte du ikke har gjort før.
But you can trust him.
Men du kan stole på han.
He's kind.
Han vennlig.
He's merciful.
Han nådig.
He's beautiful.
Han vakker.
He has the very best in mind for you.
Og han har det beste I tanken for deg.
We can trust him.
Du kan stole på han.
And he's very exciting.
Og han virkelig herlig og ja, du blir begeistret.
We can start dreaming with the Lord.
Vi kan begynne å drømme sammen med Herren.
You just wonder what are the dreams he has for your city.
Och kanske du tänker vilka drömmar har han för min by?
What does he want to do with your city government?
Vad önskar han att göra med styra här I kommunen?
Your school system.
Skolesystemet.
Your neighborhoods, your workplaces.
Arbetsplatsen din.
Why can't revival break out there?
Varför kan inte väckelse börja akkurat där?
You can be a part of that.
Du kan vara en del av det.
You were born to be a part of that.
Du blev född för att vara
en del av det. That's the whole point of redemption.
Det det som hela poängen med
frälsning. Redemption isn't to leave you the way you were, it's to make you who you are.
Och det att du blev frälst och blev förnyad det är ju för att du skulle komma in I något nytt, inte vara där du var.
In Jesus.
I Jesus.
In the power of the Holy Spirit.
I den helige andens kraft.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and
let's just rise oss upp.
Let's just pray and then we're just going to offer ourselves.
Så ska vi be och så ska vi ge oss.
This will just be an altar. Actually, let's just do this. Let's make it even harder on you.
Vi ska göra det ända lite vanskligare för dig nu.
Let's make this the altar.
Låt det här vara altaret.
If you want to surrender,
hvis du ønsker å overgi deg,
to an increased dependency on the activity of the Holy Spirit,
og komme inn I en enda mer pågående nærhet av den hellige ånd.
I want you to come forward and make a statement.
Så vil jeg at du skal komme fram for å gi ditt gi din bestemmelse.
And he's going to meet you here.
Så kommer Gud til å møte deg her.
He's going to take you at your word.
Og så skal han ta deg på ordet.
He's a good leader.
Han en god leder.
We can trust him.
Vi kan stole på han.
So Holy Spirit come.
Den hellige ånd kan.
Come and do what you do.
Kom og gjør hva du gjør.
Come and touch hearts.
Kom og rør ved hjerter.
Give courage to hearts.
Gi mot til hjerter.
I pray that you would stir the spiritual hunger in us.
Jeg ber om at du skal vekke opp den åndelige hungeren I oss.
Lord, I pray that you would also stir the dissatisfaction in our hearts.
Och far jag vill också att du ska röra upp en sån otillfredsställelse I våra hjärtan.
Show us our misery.
Vis oss vår eländighet.
How bored we feel.
Hur kedlig vi känner det.
How hopeless or lifeless things feel.
Och hur hopplöst onödvändiga ting känns.
Maybe we don't feel significant.
Kanske inte vi känner oss speciella.
We don't know the point of our lives.
Någon punkt I våra liv.
Lord, we come this afternoon because we just say you are the point of our life.
Och här idag så kommer vi till det här punkten där vi säger att du vårt liv.
You make us significant.
Du gör oss speciella.
So Lord, we come to you this afternoon.
Så här vi kommer till dig idag.
We want to surrender our hearts.
Och vi vill överge våra hjärtar.
Our minds.
Och våra tankar.
Our lives.
Våra liv.
Our bodies.
Våra kroppar.
Our families.
Våra familjer.
Our dreams.
Våra drömmar.
Our work.
Vårt arbete.
We want to surrender all of it to you, Jesus.
Vi önskar att ge allt det här till dig idag, Jesus.
All of it to you, Jesus.
Allt samman.
And we ask you for the Holy Spirit.
Och vi ber om att den helige ande
to come and be our helper.
Ska komma och vara vår hjälper.
We want to be more dependent on your Holy Spirit.
Vi önskar att vara mer avhängiga av dig, helige ande.
We want to make room for you.
Vi ønsker å gi rom for deg.
We don't want to keep you in a back closet in a room somewhere.
Vi ønsker ikke å ha deg liksom lukket opp I en dør bak et eller
annet sted. We need you.
Vi trenger
deg. In every moment.
Hvert øyeblikk.
In every activity of our life.
I hver aktivitet I vårt liv.
We desperately need your ministry, Holy Spirit.
Så trenger vi desperat din tjeneste, Hellige Ånd.
In our families.
I våre familier.
We need your wisdom.
Vi trenger din visdom.
We need your direction.
Vi trenger din direksjon, din veiledning.
We need the fruit of the Spirit.
Vi trenger den Hellige Ånds frukter.
We need your peace.
Vi trenger din fred.
Holy Spirit, would you come?
Hellige Ånd, vil du komme?
And take from what is in Jesus.
Og ta det som I Jesus.
And would you make it ours?
Og vil du gjøre det til vårt?
Would you take all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places?
Vil du ta all den åndelige velsignelsen I det himmelske?
Lord, your word promises us
Herre, ditt ord lover oss
that all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places
de hellige, alle velsignelsene
have been made available to us
skal være tilgjengelig for
that
oss.
We are your inheritance.
Og vi dine arvinger.
So we ask you today to take from what is yours, Jesus.
Så vi ber deg I dag, Herre, ta det som ditt.
And by your Holy Spirit, would you make it ours?
Gi det til oss.
Make it ours.
La det bli vårt.
We need peace.
Vi trenger fred.
We need mercy.
Vi trenger nåde.
We need gentleness. We need self-control.
Vi trenger selvkontroll.
We need righteousness.
Vi trenger rettferdighet.
We need love.
Vi trenger kjærlighet.
Holy Spirit, help us.
Hellige Ånd, hjelp oss.
Make us like Jesus.
Gjør oss som Jesus.
Reveal Jesus.
Åpenbar Jesus.
Show us who he is.
Vis oss hvem han
Conform us into his image.
Og forandre oss til hans bilde.
Holy Spirit, come and dress your bride.
Hellige Ånd, kom og kle din brud.
Exchange our garments.
Forandre våre klær.
From those that are singed by fire.
Fra de som var I synd og har blitt brent opp.
The rags.
Fillene.
The dirty garments, the torn garments.
De skitne kappene som vi hadde.
Exchange them.
Bytt dem ut.
Give us beauty for ashes.
Gi oss vakkert I stedet for aske.
Set us free from our captivity.
Sett oss fri fra vår fangenskap.
Break the bondages.
Bryt bånd.
Forgive us for our sins.
Og tilgi oss våre synder.
And we ask that you address your bride.
Og vi ber om at du kler din brud.
Bring the fresh garments.
Gi oss friske kapper.
The white garments, Jesus,
Hvite
that you talk
kapper,
about in Revelation.
Som du snakker om I åpenbaringen.
To cover the shame.
Til å dekke skammen.
To make us pure and spotless.
Til å gjøre oss rene og flekkfrie.
So Holy Spirit, come and dress your church.
Hellige Ånd, kom og kle din menighet.
Make her like Jesus.
Gjør henne som Jesus.
Cause her beholding.
La hennes ytre.
To result in such intimacy.
Og la oss være I en så intim nærhet.
That she would look like Jesus.
At hun ser ut som Jesus.
And she would reflect his beauty to the world.
Og at hun reflekterer din skjønnhet til verden.
So Holy Spirit, we surrender to you.
Så Hellige Ånd, vi overgir oss til deg.
To your activity.
Til din aktivitet.
And we ask that you would prepare your bride in this nation.
Og vi takker deg for at du forbereder din brud I denne nasjonen.
You would dress her.
Kle henne.
You would begin to reveal her.
Og du vil åpenbare henne.
So that your beauty and glory would be seen.
Din skjønnhet og herlighet vil bli sett.
So the world will know who you are.
Sånn at verden vil vite hvem du
So gather her.
Og før oss sammen.
Dress her.
Ja, kle henne.
Holy Spirit, we need your activity.
Hellige Ånd, vi trenger din aktivitet.
We submit ourselves to your activity.
Og vi overgir oss til deg, Herre, og til dine aktiviteter.
We submit to your ministry, Holy Spirit.
Vi gir oss til din tjeneste, Herre.
Lead us.
Led oss.
In an increased way.
På en fornyet, forsterket måte.
Make us so dependent on you.
Og la oss være så avhengige av deg.
Reveal how dependent we are on
you. Åpenbar hvor avhengige vi
That we would lean on you every day.
Så skal vi lene oss til deg hver eneste dag.
Until your glory is seen.
Til din herlighet blir sett.
And the city
I denne byen
becomes a crown of glory in your hand.
Så skal din herlighet være til stede.
Where you're famous.
Vi blir berømte, Herre, på din herlighet.
And your name is known. Thank you, Jesus. Be revealed in your church.
Bli åpenbart I din menighet.
Holy Spirit, do your work.
Gjør ditt arbeid, Hellige Ånd.
So that Jesus will be glorified in his church.
Så Jesus blir herliggjort I menigheten.
In Jesus' name.
I Jesu navn.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to just pray in agreement with you for a moment.
Vi skal be en bønn I enighet.
Just stay in that place. I'm just coming. I just feel like the Lord wants to mark you, and because you're making such, this feels like an important decision.
Det här känns som en väldigt viktig bestämmelse.
I don't think it's just for you. I think it's, wow. You know, in Ezekiel.
I Ezekiel.
When the glory of the Lord lifted out of the temple.
När Guds härlighet lyftade sig över templet.
His glory then left the city.
Så gick härligheten över till byen.
The Lord sent an angel into Jerusalem.
Och så sände Gud en ängel till Jerusalem.
To mark the foreheads.
Och han tog ett tegn på pannan.
Of those who sighed.
Till de som tog sida.
And cried or mourned over the condition of the city.
Över byens, ja, hvordan det var I byen.
Even though the Lord lifted His presence from the temple and from the city.
Och selv om Guds herlighet løftet seg fra denne byen og det stedet der.
He marked the intercessors.
Så ga han et merke til forbederne.
He marked those that were mourning over the loss of the presence of God in their city.
Ja, han ga et tegn, han merket de som gikk I forbønn for byen sin.
And I believe the Lord is wanting to do that today.
Og jeg tror at Gud vil gjøre det her I dag.
I don't believe this is just for you.
Jeg tror ikke det her bare for deg.
I believe the Lord is going to mark you.
Men jeg tror at Gud vil sette et tegn på deg.
So that you will cry and mourn over the loss of the presence in the city.
Slik at du vil gråte og sørge over de fortapte I denne
byen. Until the glory is restored.
Til Guds herlighet blitt gjenopprettet.
So I'm just going to come down and just agree with you for a moment.
Så jeg vil komme ned og gjøre det her I enighet med deg.